Friends, the title of the message is this: what we sow is what we reap. Or you can say, what you have currently right now is what you've been sowing currently. So many people are always looking for a harvest, but you ask them the question, what are you sowing? They're sowing nothing. Now, many people work in the marketplace, and the marketplace, every single person is in it for themselves. How do I network to go a little bit further in my career? How do I build a friendship because I'm in need? Or how do I build with this person to get a little bit further in the career? You know, the world says there's consumers. We have to make products for our consumers. The world is consistent thinking, how do I get something for myself? And sometimes it creeps into our mindset. We're in a growth group and we start thinking, what's in it for me? Or we come to church and we think it's, what's in it for me? But friends, the Christian believes a little bit differently. The Christian thinks a little bit differently. The Holy Spirit-filled believer operates a little bit differently. We start to become creators. We start to make things and release it. We want to make wealth to release the wealth. We want to come into situations because we want to be determined to do people good. We don't want to take. We want to give. We want to create. We want to sow. We want to make things for other people. In order to start to operate like that, we need to start to understand this principle of sowing and reaping. Some of us are too scared of sowing and reaping because we've been in these formulas, sow 100 rand, get 1,000, or sow 1,000 and get 1 million. You know, all those kind of stories. I asked one lady once, do you believe in sowing and reaping? She said, no. So I said, if God promised you to sow 100 rand, would you expect something back? She said, no. I said, okay. I said, if God promised you to sow 100,000 rand, would you expect something back? She said, absolutely. Absolutely. See, God wants us to be people that know how to sow and know how to reap. But there is something of an expectancy that when we start to sow, we can start to expect things back from God. So I'm going to be working from the book of Galatians 6:7. Just some background to that book. This church, Galatia, was planted by Paul. Paul went into a certain area. He preached the gospel under the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. A church was formed. Paul left this area, went back to his home church in Antioch, which is Syria. And as Paul left, some false teachers crept into the church. They were teaching some legalism, and they were telling some of the guys that you need some circumcision in order to add to your gospel. Now, I would not like to be in that church. Imagine being a male in that church and some of the elders are talking about circumcision in order to add to your gospel. I'm running out of that church. But these are the type of things that are happening in the church. So Paul was writing a letter straight back to the Galatian church on how to get free and how to stay free. And now we come to this wonderful verse, Galatians 6, verse 6. I'm reading from the Modern King James Version. But let him who is taught in the word share with the one teaching in all good things. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he sowing to his flesh will reap corruption from the flesh. But he sowing to the Spirit will reap everlasting life from the Spirit. But we should not lose heart in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. So then, as we have time, let us work good towards all, especially towards those who belong to the household of faith. Picking up from verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision, he's talking about a literal circumcision for the men, has any strength, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. But a new creation. See, we are a new creation. We are a new people. We have the Spirit of the living God living inside of us. In the beginning, God said, let there be light, and there was light. God created the world out of nothing. He did not need brick, wood, hay to make the sun. God literally created something out of nothing. And when God made the planet, he installed this law of sowing and reaping. It's a law that will always work until the day we see Jesus coming back and until the day I die or you die. This law of sowing and reaping will always work. Some people are a little bit iffy about sowing and reaping, but it's like the law of gravity. If I drop this watch, it will fall. You say, no, I don't believe in gravity, but if I can take you to a four-story building and I kick you off, you're going to drop and you're going to die. The law of gravity works. The law of sowing and reaping will always work. God said we must not be deceived. Whatever a man sows, he reaps. That word, deceived, means this. It's like my daughter. I'll ask her to follow me, and she follows me. Sometimes she stops, and she starts to wander off. I have to stop and say, Rebecca, come back. Then she waddles along. The word deceived means to err off, to walk away from the path, to stop believing in sowing and reaping. Then the word mock means this, just to laugh. Huh. How many of us laugh at sowing and reaping? Huh. I've tried that before. Doesn't work. Huh. I've tried that. We laugh at sowing and reaping. But God says, whatever we sow, we reap. I've met some businessmen that are unsaved, and they sow to the poor, and the business is blessed. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatever a person sows. Now, the Greek word for whatever is whatever. Whatever. So you just got to ask yourself, what are you sowing? Look at a fit guy. Brett runs a lot, and he does CrossFit. So he has lots of energy. Every day he wakes up and he wants to go and do some exercise. He's going to be getting more and more and more and more energy in his body because he's sowing. Whatever you sow, you reap. If you want more energy, we just do some exercise. We get some more physical energy. Some of us are battling with our energy levels. Maybe we should just put on our rugby, our running tackles and go for a walk. Look at the law of sowing and reaping with a student. A student wants to be a pilot, plumber, electrician. They take that field of education and they start to study in that field with the belief and the expectancy that they're going to become a pilot, or they're going to become a builder, or they're going to become a businessman or woman. And they study with the faith and the belief that what they sow and they're going to reap. But many businessmen stop when they start to achieve some success. I want to encourage you. The law of sowing and reaping still applies. God wants us literally to be the best that we can possibly be in our sphere of influence. He wants, if you're an electrician, to be the best electrician in South Africa. If you're a plumber, to be the best plumber in South Africa. If you are a builder, to be the best builder in South Africa. Why? It's because when you excel in your gift, the world starts to celebrate Christians. How many of us, when we want to do some maintenance in our home, do we phone the Christian? Or you want an accountant, do you phone the Christian accountant? Or do you want a plumber and you phone the Christian plumber? Some of us think, oh, I don't know about that person. But see, God doesn't want us to be like that. God wants us to start to believe in each other, that when we need an electrician, we tap into that electrician within the life of the church. Look at Greg, he consistently studies. Why? He wants to keep on upskilling himself to be the best that he can possibly be under God. If you're a pastor, counseling, God wants us to keep on studying to be the best that we can possibly be. My wife runs a guest house, so I'm trying to find her courses for next year to go and study to keep on upskilling herself, because God wants her to be the best that she can possibly be in her sphere of influence. Maybe some of you, she can study a diploma, a degree, a course in whatever, marketing. God wants you to excel. There's nothing wrong with studying in your sphere of influence. Look at the law of sowing and reaping in our finances. Friends, whatever you sow, you reap. Whatever. What about money? I believe in tithing at 10%. I got saved in this church about 13 years ago. I remember I was driving my car. I probably had about 2,000 rand left in my account, and there was 3 days left of the month. God spoke to me and said, I want you to tithe. I said, tithe? But I'm in so much debt. Doesn't make sense. I'll tithe when I'm finished. Anyway, I tithed. 3 days after that, someone put the exact amount in my account that I tithed. I thought, well, this is wonderful. Then I remember I was staying by myself. I was in a lot of debt. I had 3 credit cards. I had an overdraft account. I just could not get through the month. So there's about 4 days left of the month. I ran out of my money. I had some petrol in my car so I can get up and down to work. I made my last meal. Now, I don't believe in faith and going to say somebody, listen here, I'm battling financially. Can you please give me some food? I don't believe in that. I want you to put my faith out to God that He would move people. Not to go and tip. Hey, can you help me? I'm not saying it's wrong if you do that. I'm not saying. But for me, I wanted to put my faith out to God. I wanted Him to come out. So I made my last meal, and as I was about to eat it, God said, take that meal and walk across the road and give it to that homeless person. I said, yes. Lord, I'm hungry, man. And I'm a Christian. I'm a starved to death. So I think it's just, I'm in so much mess anyway. I took that meal, walked across the road. I gave it to this guy. Man, this guy was so happy. He was stoked. I gave him the meal, and God said, and take your shirt off and give him your shirt as well. I said, yes. I said, and take your pants and give me your pants. I'm not saying you must do this. Please, I was right across the road. This homeless guy had a whole kit of clothes. He had a meal. And this was about 13 years ago. And I walked out, just across the road quickly, walked back into my room, and I was thinking, yeah, I literally have no food. I had nothing in the cupboard. I just sat there. Oh, well. A knock on the door came. And there was a lady. My pants was back on. My pants was back on. And she came and she brought me a wonderful meal. God taught me a lesson. Keep on sowing. Sow in your time of need. Sow in your time of need. So I started to sow. I recall one time I was in worship over here. Like I said, I believe in tithing. And while I was worshiping the Lord, God prompted my heart, I want you to take your savings and take about 10,000 rand and just give it to Yannis. I said, I bind you, Satan, get away from me. Get away from me in Jesus' name. I said, I'll just tell my wife, I got married then, she'll probably cancel that word quickly. I said, hey, my love, I think God said, let's just give 10,000. Oh, that's good, do it. I said, oh, man, her and the devil are operating them. And I thought, I'll go to Greg, and Greg will cancel that word for me. I said, hey, Greg, man, I think God said this, but I'm not too sure. He said, no, good, do it. I was like, oh, man. So I thought to myself, I'll just act like I forgot. I'm planning in my mind how to get out of this. So God said, no, go to Yannis and just commit right now. Yannis, with a smile on my face, I just believe God wants me to show this amount of money to you. Comes out, he had a rain problem. His roof was damaged and he needed some extra bucks. I met a need. And friends, I'm not into formulas, but that amount of money that I sowed, God gave me 10 times the amount of that amount later on. I didn't know what God was doing, but God wanted to bless me. He wanted to bless me. But friends, whatever you sow, you reap. We can take our whole life and we can sow clothes. We can sow finances. Once I walked into Brett's house and he gave me the most amazing leather jacket. It was stunning. It was a Moroccan jacket. It was stunning. I put this jacket on, this is my jacket. I hanged it up in my home. Some guy came into my home for growth group. God said, take that jacket and give it to him. Oh man, I just got it. Gave him the jacket. Then Greg comes, says, hey, John, I got a jacket for you. He gives me a nice blue gang jacket. Friends, whatever you sow, you reap. Can the Lord touch your whole life? Can He start to move things in your home? Can He move your clothes? Can He move your finances? Can He move your food? Can He move your rooms? Can He start to put His hands on things in your life? To release. Now, I love books. I like to collect books. One day, God told me this. He said, that young guy in the church, bring him into your house and tell him he can take whatever he wants. Let him just take everything. I said, No, I'm not doing that one. No. So I brought him in the house, and this guy was so happy. He took this book, I was like, woo! Took this one, woo! Whoa, buddy. I said, God said, let him take everything. Friends, it took me 3 years to get healed in my heart from that. Every time I thought about it, I got so angry. 3 years, I got so angry. Thinking, how could God ask me to do that? I've just done it. I said, wow, this is crazy. Oh, Lord, I surrender to you. Okay, give this. I was recently now preaching somewhere, and someone in this church, Daniel Dabrowski, gave me a nice belt. Now, if Daniel gives you something, it's not a Chinese make. It's a good thing. It's good. So I was sitting, and I was watching a guy take the offerings. It was one of the churches I was preaching recently. And God said, take your belt off and give it to him. I said, my belt? I like this belt, Lord. He said, take it off and give it to him. I said, no, it's too embarrassing. I can't do this. Said, no. Take your belt off and give it to him. I took my belt. I rolled it up very quietly. I'm blushing. I'm red. I'm sweating. I'm so uncomfortable. I've got the belt here. He says, now go stand up and just give it to him. So I give him the belt. He's trying to take the belt and put it in the offering basket. I said, no. The belt is for you. Keep the belt, please. No, and he's in a scuffle. And I'm thinking, no, this is not working. He takes the belt. He comes to me and goes, thank you so much. I could sound comfortable again. I said, Lord, why do you give me stuff if you want me to give it away? He said, no, like, I'm just borrowing it to you. Release. Friends, can the Lord, by the Holy Spirit, start to put his hand on our stuff? See, sometimes in our home, our clutter and our junk is somebody else's treasure. I think every home should have a box called sewing. Maybe some of us with our 20 shirts or 20 pairs of shoes should go take some of the stuff that we don't wear and just put in that box and say, Lord God, would you start to show me who I can start to sow this to? So whatever you sow, you reap. Sow in words. Gossip. Friends, if I sow one gossip, I don't get one back. I get many back. Whatever we sow, we reap. If I sow one encouragement, I don't get one back. I get many back. If I sow one honor, I don't get one honor back. I get many honors back. What about prayers? Sowing prayers for our leaders, for our family, for our children, for our government, for our neighbor. What about sowing prayers for the municipality? Whatever we sow, we reap. What about sowing into our enemies? Jesus said in Matthew 5:44, to love and pray for our enemies. Now, you know, this guy just bumped in front of me. I want to go out and punch him. Oh, what? Jesus wouldn't say that. Friends, it takes more work to try to control this tongue than to release the words in our mind. Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for them. What about saying, yeah, you know what? This guy bumped in front of me and I prayed for him and I walked away. We don't hear that language. Jesus hanging on the cross. Oh, Father God, forgive them for they know not what they're doing. Stephen being stoned to death. Father, forgive them. Where is that character? I believe God wants to work that character into us. Romans 12:14 says this. Oh, this is so painful. Bless those who persecute you and do not curse. The word persecution means that literally some of those Christians were being persecuted to death. He says, bless them. The word bless means to invoke God's favor and God's blessing on the one that's attacking us. Now, when I was working in the marketplace, there was a lady sitting next to me, and every second word was a swear word. She drove me mad. She was like a trooper, and I had those words stuck in my mind. And she was so cunning, and she was always playing, and she was always trying to, made me mad. And once I walked into the office, and I just heard her gossiping and saying all these lies about me. God said, go downstairs and go and buy her a gift and go give it to her. That one. He said, yes. I walked down, I bought her a gift, and I gave her a gift. Bless those who persecute you. Don't play the revenge game. Bless and do not curse. There was another man where I was working for, and he was trying to get me fired. God said, bless him. Every time before I'd walk to this client, I would pray, oh God, would you bless this man? Would you help me to serve him? Would you help me to love him? Would you help me to give him the best product? Friends, that man ended up committing suicide. But under God, I kept my heart pure. There was another man also trying to get me fired at work. He sent emails and you name it. And God said, just bless him. Pray for him. Determined to do him good. I kept on blessing him. I kept on praying for him. Eventually lost his job. He came to me. He was my client. He came to me and said, listen here, can you help me find a job? The whole situation turned. Now, if I was determined to do him revenge and harm, God wouldn't bring him back to me. There was another guy that hated my guts at work. Every time I would walk in there, he would start to do all sorts of things, play games, all crazy stuff. I just prayed for this man. I fasted for this man. 8 years fasted for this man. One day, he sat in front of me and he was crying and he was broken. And God allowed me to lead him to Jesus. I led him to the Lord. It was so beautiful. Bless those who persecute you. Don't play the games. Bless. Friends, if we keep on praying for our enemies and we keep on sowing, God can turn that situation around where we can lead them to the Lord. How many of us are willing to do that, to pray for our enemies? Think about the person currently right now that's hurting you. I'm sure some of you have got them. Are we praying for them? Are we trusting for God to intervene and save them and change the situation around? I've got many. I have no idea why. But are we praying for them? How's our heart? Is it like Christ? That we're willing to lay our life down for our enemies? Or are we saying, let me put the boxing glove on and show him? God's not into that, friends. I want to be like Christ. You choose who you want to be like. You choose who you want to be like. Make the decision to be a real man and start to pray for our enemies. God needs real Christians to rise up in this nation and in this city to start to walk like that. What about the person that comes to you and gossips to you? Or you find out about it. Oh, it's so painful. I know people that have gossiped about Greg. To me, and I've stopped it. And I know he knows about some people. And I haven't heard him say anything bad back about them. He keeps on honoring them. I was thinking, but come on, should you not surely say something? And he refuses to hop in that field. Let's step out. You know, Bill Johnson, he gets some hate mail. I don't know why, but anyway. And I heard him, I went to one of his conferences. He says he would go to his hotel room or sit in his room and he would break bread and take the elements and he would start to honor those enemies and start to pray for them that God would intervene and God would bless them. Doesn't pray like fire. Remove them. He asks God to bless them, to encourage them. Friends, we are a new creation, a new person, a new believer. We operate differently. We believe differently. We speak differently. We act differently. We are those ones in this city that's going to bring salt and light. We are the ones that's going to change our city and this nation. Can I encourage you in closing? Would you determine under God to be a sower, to be a creator? Leave the reaping to God. We sow. When we sow, we multiply. But leave the reaping to God. If I sow to Nick, I'm not expecting Nick to give me something back. I sow to Jesus when I'm sowing to Nick. God will sort me out. See, God's good at maths. I'm not. I failed maths in matric. Whatever we sow, allow the Lord to count for you. You don't have to count and expect to get back from the person. We get back from Jesus. Whatever we sow, we reap a harvest on earth and we get rewards in heaven. Would you determine under God to sow encouragement, to sow love, to sow honor, to sow finances wisely? Wisely is the word. Maybe just sowing a hug to somebody. Maybe sowing a WhatsApp. Thank you. Maybe some of you should start to sow some messages to your growth group leaders. Thank you so much for opening up your home. Thank you so much for the coffee. Thank you so much for the tea. Thank you so much for the meals. Thank you so much for the time. Thank you so much. I appreciate you. Or do we also have the entitlement heart? Are we appreciating people again? Do you wake up in the morning and say to your wife, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. I love you. Are we appreciating our children? Whatever we sow, we reap. Good or bad. Can I pray for us, please? Father, would you help us as a church to be a people that sow and reap? Father, we'll leave the reaping to you, but we want to sow in faith in every area. Would this church, would our families, would our children, would the city, would the nation literally be changed by our sowing? I think this is a generous church. Would you make every single one of us a generous people? Would we sow love? Would we sow care? Would we sow the gospel message and see the city changed? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.